You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
According to a Radio New Zealand report released today, hospitality bosses say they are struggling to get locals to apply for jobs and need skilled migrants to stay in the country to keep the industry going. Hospitality workers have hit back, saying that if they want more New Zealand staff, they need to pay more. I speak to Chloe King, a hospitality veteran who has launched a workers' campaign called Raise the Bar, and asked her if she thought hospo bosses are struggling to employ Kiwis because the pay isn't attractive enough.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like, there's been like a massive bar boom in Auckland, for example, but there's been absolutely no boom in our wages. Regardless of our experience, as was illustrated in that Radio New Zealand report by a hospo worker called Bella, who had 15 years experience in hospo, she was only offered $20 an hour. And I've got about 12 years experience in hospitality, and I'm rarely ever offered anything more than minimum wage or just a dollar above. So if you pay us poverty wages, then expect us to work incredibly hard for almost nothing. That is predominantly the reason why we're over it. We've had enough, you know? Like, that's why they're struggling to attract New Zealand workers, not because we're lazy or drug-addled or whatever. Yeah.
So do you think Kiwis are in competition with migrant workers?
Absolutely not. I think that migrant workers have every right to come to this country on visas, on student visas, and eke out a better life for themselves. I think the pitting of workers against each other, particularly low-wage workers, is just another way for us to compete against each other for shitty wages and jobs that are not that meaningful, when we should be banding together and organising ourselves as hospital workers and standing up to bosses who pay poverty wages and treat us as nothing more than units of production to exploit.
So in the RNZ report released today, Aisha Green, who has worked in the hospitality industry for 12 years, said employers like migrant workers because they were cheap and compliant. What do you make of that?
I think compliant is not the right word. I think the word scared would be a much better word. And yeah, overwhelmingly, migrant workers do become part of the black economy, which is being paid less than minimum wage under the table, which means even though hospitality is already the least regulated industry with almost no union representation, they have even less rights and less ability to negotiate and have fairness at work. Yeah, so I don't think the cause of wage suppression. Wages have always been incredibly low in hospitality. It is the lowest paid industry in our country. That is not new migrant workers' fault.
Do you think migrant workers in the hospitality industry are being abused?
Yeah, absolutely. So I launched something called Raise the Bar about 4 months ago. It is a campaign that aims to advocate for hospitality workers. I give out free legal advice. I've taught myself employment law. I'm aiming to raise the conditions of hospitality workers. And yeah, like, without a doubt, they're just being treated appallingly and they're being abused. I talk to migrant workers nearly every day on the ground who are in the backs of kitchens who are just being treated appallingly. And it's a national disgrace as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
So what do you think needs to change?
So overwhelmingly, first of all, hospitality workers need to start organising themselves. If they'd like to do that, they can contact me through Raise the Bar. I am pushing to connect hospitality workers with each other so that we can start a movement that pushes bosses to pay us equally and fairly. They can also start demanding. They can start demanding things also from welfare, like a insecure work benefit, because overwhelmingly we're stuck in precarious work in hospitality. We're offered casual contracts, which offer us absolutely no consistency of hours. So if we can get our wages topped up, it means we're more empowered, and it means we can start pushing back against the injustices we face. So yeah, just get a hold of me and start teaching yourself employment law. That's another thing. Like, once you know your rights, once you know where you stand, you can start fighting back. And I'm happy to come and advocate.
So it sounds like you're forming a union.
Well, not necessarily. We do have a union. It's called ETU. The union reps I've talked to are quite supportive of what I'm doing. I've been part of the End the Zero Hours campaign with Unite Union. It's more of an advocacy campaign in which we peer-to-peer as hospitality workers back each other. I will teach employment law and then we go out to bat for each other. So it's more of a peer-to-peer campaign where we fight for each other. Yeah.
So I've read that you're advocating for the implementation of a living wage. Could you expand upon that?
So a living wage right now sits at $20.20 an hour. a living wage is the basic hourly wage you need to survive, to be able to pay bills, rising living costs, rising food costs. Anything below that is what I consider poverty wages. Any employer paying any employee the lower living wage is forcing them into poverty, and that's not okay. That's not a country I want to live in. And workers deserve fair pay for fair work. That's not much to ask for.
So advocacy and policy manager for hospitality in New Zealand, David Firth, says that increases in wages can be difficult for hospitality businesses to absorb, and that a sudden increase to a living wage could require a dramatic shift in their operation. And others say that an immediate increase in wages will mean that they'll have to cut staff. What do you make of this?
Well, so I do understand that. I can see that from, you know, the boss class's position. I've worked for Laila Harrier, who's, you know, a politician and also a unionist. She paid a living wage at her restaurant that I worked for. She did say it was hard, but she managed it. Do you know what I mean? She paid all her staff a living wage. It can be done. We know it can be done. And overwhelmingly, it doesn't have to be straight away. Like, I mean, the Green Party have got policy around slowly bringing up the minimum wage to a living, you know, hopefully aiming for a living wage. But you know what? Like, what's worse? The fact that you're paying your staff so poorly, they're living in poverty, or actually just paying them a decent wage? And it's really hard to believe that when nearly every place I've worked, I've been told my employer cannot afford to pay me a living wage as they drive off in their $60,000 car to their holiday home. It's really hard to swallow that sometimes. Yeah. So I think it needs to change.
So do you think if businesses are relying on a model that relies on cheap labour, do you think it's just a bad business model?
Of course it's a bad business model. All it does is it exploits predominantly the working and lower classes, traps us further into poverty, traps us into a precarious way of life. Like, over, you know, the CTU sites, that 30% of our workforce are actually stuck in insecure work. We've got 600,000 people stuck on the minimum wage in this country, and we're wondering why poverty is rising when we've got rising living costs. Like, it's really time that we shifted towards higher wages, better work conditions, and stronger unionisation for our workers, particularly in HOSPO, which is one of the most insecure industries you can work in.
What do you make of Labor's proposed policy to implement a slowdown of migration?
I think, once again, that is scapegoating. That does not address the core of the problem. We've had low wages that do not match inflation since we started introducing neoliberal policy nearly over 30 years ago. The problem is poor policy. The problem is an unregulated industry that has no unionisation. Migrants are not to blame for wage stagnation. Wages have been stagnating since the 80s, you know? So that is a lie, and it's an easy out.
So in the context of the coming election, what party's policies do you most agree with?
Overwhelmingly, I do agree with the Green Party's policies, particularly around their new welfare policy, which would see welfare be increased by 20%. You could also earn up to $200 with their policy while on welfare without having your welfare cut. That would move closer to what Matt Harris, the academic, has called for, which is an insecure work benefit, which would help the precarity in industries like hospitality. So I do think the Greens use the least neoliberal language. They are the most aligned with the working class, and they're about the only party offering up policies that would strengthen workers' rights. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we've got Labor Party's Future of Work, but I don't know if they really fully understand what precarious work is and what needs to happen to change it. Yeah.
Do you think maybe Labor hasn't gone far enough?
Yeah, I fully agree. They also talk about basically cultivating more resilient workers, as if it's up to individual workers to become resilient enough to survive a shitty workplace. What we need are higher wages, better work conditions, and we also need the government to step up and actually start monitoring properly. You know, businesses, they're not doing a good enough job, ultimately. Like, I mean, employers are with impunity breaching employment law daily, you know, and that needs to change. It's not fair and it's not right. No one should be working, regardless if that's part-time or full-time, and be poor at the same time. It's that simple.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.